out there, it's out there, it's out there. Mm. Don't be worried too much. Just see where there is an area where you need to know more, where you need to have answers and better even experiences. And then go about taking care of these areas one by one. You will see many things might be taken care of as you go through the kirtan course. There will be many answers. But again, I need to say, even more important, some experiences which you made. You may sit in the kirtan in the evening, and all of a sudden, as you sing the holy name, things become clear. It's not that doubts always need to have an intellectual answer and need to be dealt with on that level. Doubts can often be easily taken care of by an experience which convinces us, wow, here is something I can find. I must say my own faith in spiritual life has mainly come about by three things. I have read in scriptures something, and I have seen that it works in practical life. I have also seen many personalities who just seem to live in the land of faith, and that has always given me a lot of inspiration. And last and not least, I have done in my spiritual practices, I've seen some experiences which really convinced me more than anything else that this is really working. So today, we had a morning class which I think has made many of you thought. I could see that you were buzzing here, and devotees were speaking here and there to each other. What is the key point which we want to deepen? The key point of this morning lecture is to be found in the word sambandha. Sambandha is a Sanskrit word. Sam means totally, and band means bound. Sambandha means to establish a relationship where the hearts are bound to each other. And in the morning class, we could hear about this. We could hear how a person who just has some feeling that while I'm chanting, Krishna is listening to me and I'm addressing him. Someone who has just this feeling of a relationship, who is in a little, you could say, world of his own. A world where he relates to God and God relates back to him. And in this bond, where they are tied together, everything does happen. We also heard about people who do not have this feeling of a relationship for some reason or another. Either philosophically they think there is no God out there. The only God is themselves, who is at the moment a little bit bedridden, but if he is spiritually more fit, then he is God. So these people cannot make a relationship. Or other people who can't make a relationship are those who just either don't think, or they feel there is no relationship between them and the Lord. But when we do kirtan, really, it starts and it ends and it is carried in the middle by the sense of sambandha, the sense of relationship. There's a very advanced devotee in Vrindavan. who her name is Srimati, who is chanting the whole day the Maha Mantra and often gives some small classes. And she said something which I would like to read to you on this subject. She said, "This is the greatest obstacle in our advancement. We chant without sambandha, without a sense of relationship. We take this chanting to be a process, a duty, a ritual, or a sacrifice, but we do not have a relationship with Krishna, whose name we are chanting. If we really want to chant with the heart, we need to become more conscious. We have to change the way we see things. This is a paradigm shift. Nama and Nami are not different. The name and the person whose name we chant are identical. We have to get away from seeing the holy name as a bunch of syllables and understand that Harinam, or the name of the Lord, is a beautiful dark blue cowherd boy known as Shyama Sunda, who has chosen to kindly manifest himself in a transcendentally blissful form of syllables." That's nice how she says, no? We have to get away from seeing that this is a ritual or this is just a meditation, a practice like the one which we will do in a moment. Some techniques you will learn, meditation. But we have to see this is Krishna, and I'm now addressing Krishna with Krishna. You know, I address God with the name of God, which is in some spiritual sense identical with God. This is how we should deal with the practice. It should be done in an affectionate way. This is why we keep, one reason why we keep this bag. We want to keep the beads in a protected place where the dirt of the street cannot reach. It's protected. It's a sign of respect. The whole scriptures, all the spiritual scriptures, place three confidential secrets into the heart of the petitioner. The first is Lord Krishna is the one supreme truth who carries everything and maintains everything. He stays eternally in his abode in the spiritual sky. Lord Krishna possesses all potencies. Even this world is an emanation from him. And Lord Krishna's form is sweet like nectar, and he has a dark complexion. So this Lord comes to us, and we will have our first introduction with him in the form of the holy name. So I wanted to do a meditation with you, but I somehow feel, maybe it's because of me, that you are a little tired. Is that true? Andrew? No? Fine? Mm-hmm. Wilhelm?
Dying of tiredness, but that's okay.
Dying of tiredness. I also. We can make a club. The sleepy boys. Umesh?
Okay.
Our Majesties, Sri Gandavika, could need a little exercise, isn't it? I thought we do a little exercise which will take care of our bodies. It will be gentle, not the heavy warrior exercise which I'm famous for. Why don't we all stand up and we will just release a little prana flow in our body. Oops, sorry, I stepped on. Let me position myself. Maybe here is best. So, do we have yes? Do we have oxygen there?
Yes.
We have. So let us do like this. It is, you don't need to change dresses. You're right. So please just watch. On an inhale, move your head to the right side. On an inhale, exhale, come back. And on an inhale, to the left side. It's important that you do some breathing. Now please, on an inhale, bring the arms up. And on an exhale, or was it? Oh, sorry, you have to bring them forward like this. This. Up, down, up, down. Nice. Try to calm your mind and just bring it to the exercise. Now we will go all the way up. You can also look up. Follow your hands when you go down. Try to really stretch when you go up. Oh, it's good. I'm waking up. Wilhelm, how are you doing?
I'm crying.
Crying?
Yeah.
Up. Now bring your torso down. Up. Down. Try to come almost a little bit more down until you touch the lawn downstairs. Okay, now please watch me. Open your arms and on an inhale, close them like this. Then open like a tree. Bring it back. Here you want to create a nice, nice pull in the shoulders. You should think yourself to be a tree which opens. Try to breathe gently. Some of you look like Spartacus, the Roman slave to escape his torturers. Look relaxed and joyful. Oh, so good. Keep always your breath going in and out. Now bring your arms, am I on video? Or bring your legs apart and just synchronized with the breathing. I know it's a little awkward, but you need this position in a minute. So we need to loosen our hips a little. Okay, kindly stop. This was a preparation. Now watch me, please, before you follow. You breathe in. And on exhale, you come down like this to the side and go to the center. And on an inhale, you can up, can come up. Now, inhale, please. And go down on an exhale. To the middle, and inhaling yourself, come up. Same, immediately go down for an exhale. Oh, it's so good. These are exercises which yogis do who meditate a lot and sit. Exhale always down and inhale always up. Oh, I could do this the whole day. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you will have to work a little bit. On an inhale, come down, on an exhale, the blood will go everywhere, your organs will be flooded with blood. Your skin will tone, and all of these physical benefits, which we are not so interested in. Most important is try to now keep the torso as straight as possible. Jackie, now look at me. Not so much move forward, but yes, very good. I'm proud of you. Is some sweat coming? Good. On an exhale, come out. Let's come out. I think we do about 150 more. How is it going? Mr. James?
That's a good, yeah.
Oh. It's good, we will meditate, we need our room. Oh yes, we can do it. Five more. One. Two. Three, my God. Four. You can do it. Right. Thank you. Wow. Please, please sit down. Once I did this, and one person was saying, "Oh, I'm so awake," and the other person said, "Shovel a grave for me. I'm so tired." I wanted to now guide you in a little exercise. I will need Gaurahari and Manu to sit already here. Please sit in a, those of you who can, in a lotus position or legs crossed. For those of us who sit on the chair, which is very, very good, it's very fine, try to sit with a spine, with a tall spine, not slumped over. Let us do the prana mudra. That will help now that the energy which we created will go through the body nicely. The way you do the prana mudra is you take the left, you take the small finger with the middle finger and bring the thumb over it and have these other fingers like this. And then you put it a little bit. Yeah, a little bit more straight, the thing. Yes, yes. You will see there will be some little tension in the heart, but this initial tension will help the rewiring of your system. It will activate dormant energies in your body. It will strengthen your immune system. It will improve the eyesight, no need of glasses any longer. I should do this actually more often. And it will energize us when we feel slightly fatigued. I will teach you now a simple pranayama, a breathing exercise, which is meant to calm your mind. I have taken this exercise from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's an amazing breathing system. It's very ancient and very, very, very nice for kirtan and for any devotional thing. I know we have a few monks amongst us, for instance, Gaurahari, who will think, what is this breathing? Never heard. This is there in the Hari Bhakti Vilas and in the in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. It is good so that the mind comes at ease. We require this because we will do a meditation. If our mind is all over the place, it will be more difficult. So to make it easy, we will do this. I request you now to focus your attention on your breathing. As you inhale, count to the number of four. And while you exhale, count the number of four. The idea is you want to even out your inhale with the exhale. While you inhale, silently count up to the number of four. And while you exhale, silently count to the equal number of four. Your attention is only with the breathing. Should your mind wander, no problem, but gently bring it back to breathing and counting. Thank you. you should have a natural breath, but because you're focusing your attention, it will automatically slow down a little bit and become deeper. It's a great blessing if our mind does not need to be busy with so many things. It will give the mind now a little peace, a little rest, a little ease by engaging it to just do two things only. Being conscious of our breath and counting the length of our breath. When thoughts come, let them go as easy as they have come. Can see them as clouds which come but which also move by. Bring your mind again and again back to the inhale and exhale. On the count of four, 1, 2, 3, 4, we inhale. On the count of four, we exhale. Your breathing should come very softly. No need to make sounds, just softly in and out. You're doing fine. Now we will lengthen our exhale. We will count up to six. Our inhale will be 1, 2, 3, 4. And our exhale will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is how it is we are advised in the Bhagavatam. The outgoing breath should be longer than the ingoing breath. We will do this for another 30 seconds and then we will come to a very, very deep practice of breathing. have a nice flowing breath, deep breath, naturally flowing. A tiny, tiny effort, but not a big effort. Okay, now do your inhale and your exhale without any counting. However, when you have exhaled, keep your breath for 2 seconds. 1, 2. And when only after these 2 seconds have passed, continue with inhaling. After the inhale, immediately exhale without counting, but keep your breath after you have fully exhaled out for 2 seconds. It is said that the devata Brahma rules the ingoing breath, whereas Shiva rules the outgoing breath. But in the pause between in and outgoing, or outgoing and ingoing breath, a Vishnu or God resides. Please meditate that in the space between each exhale and the new inhale, in the space of 2 seconds, the Lord can be found. Give yourself in that pause where you keep your breath fully to the Lord. Surrender to Him entirely. Make an offering of yourself. Kindly fix your mind in the area of the heart. And as you keep this breathing pattern flowing, meditate on Lord Shri Krishna. He has a cheerful, lotus-like countenance. He has red eyes like the interior of a lotus. He has a swarthy, blackish body like the petals of a dark blue lotus. And in 3 of his hands, he bears a conch, a discus, a fire wheel, and a maize. Keep your focus on Krishna within the heart and meditate. I am your part. And always your servant. You are my eternal master. In this material world, my only true purpose is to re-establish my relationship with you. Stay in this space and sing from this space the kirtan. You are a servant of your eternal master, Krishna. And you are here in this world with this one true purpose, to re-establish your relationship with him. Sing out in that devotional frame of mind, and you will see your kirtan is something else.
Hare 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 Hare
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare.
In the work Harinam Chintamani, which details the discussion between Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a very deep point is made on this. It is said that as long as a person is not aware about his relationship with Krishna, he can only chant the shadow of the holy name. With this expression, the shadow, a very interesting ontological statement has been made. Let me give you an illustration. I'm now admittingly a little bit thirsty. I have my thermos with me, my friend who went with me to the Himalayan mountains and back. Imagine I would only have a shadow of a glass of water. Will this glass of water, which is only a shadow of the real thing, be able to support me? Will it? You have also just drunken some water. Imagine, continue. I don't want, please. I don't want to disturb.
It's kind of hard, because
you
tell
them. We won't look at you. Imagine you only have a shadow of a bottle of water. Or when you come down to eat your prasadam, your noon prasadam, imagine the person who stands behind the pots and serves you says, today you only get the shadow of your meal. Or imagine someone of you is married. And the wife would send the person a letter, don't touch me, to give me something. Or so, only deal with my shadow. I will be silent. Today you talk with my shadow. I need a little rest from you. My shadow is there for you. Or you meet a friend. You wanted to meet him since many days, and he would say, I need to do a few other things. But you can definitely come and you can talk to my shadow. I will do my other things with my headphones on, and you just engage with my shadow and maybe take a walk with my shadow. Let's see if he will come along or not. How would you feel? How do you feel when you only have a relationship to a shadow? Now I want to ask the question a little more pronounced. Imagine you are only in a shadow world where the things which you touch never have any substance. How will you feel? You will feel frustrated after some time. So the shadow, we live in a shadow world. It's called the external energy, one of the energies of God. But imagine we now only have also in the shadow world, I think we have enough of shadow. We should engage with the real substantial thing, with the holy name, which can bring us into our sacred space where all our spiritual realizations can take place. If you now, who live already in a shadow world, are engaging only with the shadow of the holy name, how sad this would be. No? Andre, how sad? Wilhelm, only a shadow. Oof, no substance. So, what is the difference between the shadow of the holy name and the real name? The difference really happens, well, the difference is that in the real name you see Krishna, you hear him, you touch him, you taste him. That's why some people who are chanting are ecstatic. You know why? Because they meet the substantial Krishna, the essential Krishna, the real Krishna. Now, because we may not yet be on such a high level where we have access to the spiritual reality, where the name is identical with the form, at least we should start to touch the spiritual reality. And that happens through the art of sambandha, making a bond, establishing a bond. Yesterday we spoke about something, connect with the practice, connect with who's here, connect with the cause. But today we bring it a step further and we say, totally connect, make a bond. And this happens by this sambandha meditation, where you just connect with a sense of relationship with Krishna. Haridas Thakur says that there are three meditations which we must do, and you have done them already. I have guided you in them, but I will repeat them here, where you are not in a meditative state but in a maybe writing state or listening state, listening for information. The first thing is, you must first arrive at your essential spiritual nature. I am your part. I'm a part of God, and as a part, an eternal servant. I'm related with seva, with him. This is the first meditation. I always do this when I chant in my little lake ashram, Gora Bhavan. When I sit down, and I usually, there's a lot of, I'm very active and busy there, and sometimes what I do is still in my brain. I write a lot and I research and do things. But when I sit down, I want to make, for chanting, I want to make sure that I'm there. So I'm first of all thinking, I am an eternal soul, a part of the Lord. I'm not Mr. German, Swami. I'm not the inhabitant of the lake ashram. I'm an eternal spirit soul, a free spirit as such. And I don't need to be caught by the little world in which I act at the present moment. The second step is, I think about Krishna. You are my eternal master. And I'm thinking of him. Often I chant before my deities, Radha Kanaya Lal, who are also today here. Very sweet deities, very, very beautiful. And I sit before them and I connect with them. I'm saying, you are my eternal master. And then the last meditation is, in this material world, my only true purpose, that is the only thing I really have to do, is to to correct my absent-mindedness, my truant nature. Truant is an English word. It means you're not there. I'm now making my relationship with you again. And this creates a space of sambandha, is an internal state of bondage and bond, and you can stay in that. And you will see what this means is, you have just exited your normal space, your normal worldview, and you have entered into a space which is created by the realized souls like Haridas Thakur. And when you stay in that space, you can make amazing spiritual realizations, because you will see, just like the world becomes active when you are in worldly life. And I noticed some of our participants are all the time with the computer active, because they write their emails most properly, because they have so much to do. It's all right, continue. I'm just using you as an example. With this world, which is occupying them, I have to arrange this, and oh, we have to buy new pots for the temple kitchen, and what to do in two and a half weeks, there are 2,000 people here in Radhadesh who want to throw colors at each other. We have not yet ordered the natural colors. We only have the chemical colors. Woo! Let me order the natural, and so on. The world keeps them totally busy, and they interact with the world. Even when they come to a seminar, which is all right, it is totally keeping you busy. You have, if you want to do real meditation, you have to exit that world of your worries, the world of your relationships, the world of your concerns, and so on. And therefore, you have to enter into another world, which is opening to you with these three meditations. And it is known, there's a natural law in spiritual life. In the degree you surrender, or in the degree you turn towards the Lord, in that degree He turns towards you. In other words, He will respond. He will reciprocate. He will enter your little world. He will send you signs on your road, you will see all of a sudden, wow, I'm in a different world. I see this, I'm very clear about this when I'm in this space. It first started in India, where I would sit under a tree, and all of a sudden I noticed snakes were coming, but they were not out to bite me, they were just lying next to me. Then a wild dog started to lie next to me, and all of a sudden the environment started to respond or reciprocate with me, like they do with any meditator. But beyond that, I have seen when you enter into this Sambandha chanting with the relationship, all of a sudden, it's not just the environment any longer which responds to you. It's Krishna who responds to you. You see on the altar, you might see that as you are thinking, as you are asking a question and thinking something, the deity begins to move, and the garland falls down, and you can relate that to a question which you just asked and find in it an answer. Or you go through your life, and if you are in that, have been in that spiritual space, all of a sudden you seem to get little signs in your life which act like signposts pointing you in a direction which you wanted to know. I think we all know this in our life. We feel something, we say, oh, this was not an accident. Isn't it? People say like this, this was not an accident. Das war kein Zufall. In Deutschland, German is also a language. It says, das war überhaupt kein Zufall. We say like this, überhaupt kein Zufall. So, what this means is, a person has entered for a little time a new world, and I recommend you, especially during your japa meditation or your kirtan meditation, enter that space. I have sometimes asked good kirtan leaders, those who sing and thousands of people sing with them and after them, and they are invited to travel here and there. Now I'm asking them, what do you think when you sing? And mostly they say, well, we just try to not be in this world, but we try to connect with the mantra. Huh? That is one response. Others say that in their mind's eye, they go into a favorite temple of theirs and sit before the altar. In other words, they don't sing for the thousands of people who are surrounding them, but they sing for the Lord on an altar. The thousands of people feel it, and a shudder runs through their spine. They feel, my God, this is a different space. When you chant, I always say to the young devotees, don't space out, space in. Is that an Eleanor? Is that an English word? Space in?
I think it's one you made up with
I have your permission to make up this word.
I think it's a great word.
So don't space out, space in when you do kirtan. Don't go outward into the world, but go really inside. And inside of you, you will. What is there inside of you? It's the soul who is in there, and it's the Lord in the heart who is in there. We want to chant from this connection. I have one friend. He said when he started to chant in kirtan, various thoughts were passing through his mind. He was in India, and he would think of being in Italy and eat a pizza, and he would sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, bellissimo, bellissimo, you know, and eat Italian pizza. And then he would think of his relationship to his girlfriend, who had just wrote him an offensive letter where she said, "You stink, I'm leaving you." And he would chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Life is so cruel, you know. And he noted that he was singing the mantra, but he was really not with the mantra. He was with an Italian pizza, with his girlfriend who left him, with I don't know what else. I have forgotten all his examples. It was like a movie what he described to me. So, my dear devotees, my dear friends, don't space out so much. Move into the heart space where you will find the soul and the Lord whose name you are singing. And that will be very good for you. Good. I want to now make a little pause of 10 minutes. I think we should go to 5 after 12. Our Nityananda is again our time keeper. So you can take a little bit care of yourself. Move a little about, maybe, because we will enter in the second part, Japa meditation, where we will also chant Japa. Let me just ask our two participants, James and Wilhelm. Did you bring? Yes. All of you who have forgotten the Japa mala, please, this is a good time to go and fetch them. It would be nice if you have them when we start the next session. So see you in 10 minutes.